and 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. No change in interest rates. That decision from the Federal Reserve in the past hour, ABC News business correspondent Alexis Christophorus.
It didn't change much from the May meeting. The Fed saying that, broadly speaking, the economy grew at a, quote, solid pace with low unemployment and, quote, somewhat elevated inflation. I do want to point out their expectations for inflation this year expected to hit 3%. They're also expecting economic growth to slow a bit to a pace of 1.4%.
A federal judge in Florida has found the state's attorney general in contempt of court for saying that he couldn't prevent enforcement of a new Florida law that the judge blocked that makes it a misdemeanor for undocumented immigrants to enter the state. Supreme Court has upheld a Tennessee law banning gender-affirming medicine and surgery for transgender children. Summer will make a dramatic entrance in the U.S. this week, forecasters say, with stifling temperatures and humidity. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to participate in Invasive Species Awareness Weekend. The agency will host more than 30 events across the state this weekend. Their goal is to raise awareness about the presence of various invasive species that are threatening native species in the state and share some of the steps that residents can take to help prevent those invasive species from spreading even further. A full list of Invasive Species Awareness Weekend events can be found on the Department of Natural Resources website. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the state plans to go forward with a $7.4 billion settlement with Purdue Pharma stemming from a multi-state lawsuit. The lawsuit argued the company aggressively marketed opioid products for decades, leading to a significant opioid crisis. If approved by all parties, the $7.4 billion settlement would be spread out over 15 years, and Purdue Pharma would no longer be able to sell opioids in the country. Wisconsin could receive over $80 million over that 15 years for its share of the settlement. A Holcomb man was taken into custody after allegedly leading law enforcement authorities on a chase through Rusk and Chippewa counties. According to the Rusk County Sheriff's Office, the chase began on Sunday at around 10:30 p.m. when deputies attempted to stop a motorcycle on Highway 27. The driver then led deputies on a 25-mile chase before being caught while trying to flee on foot. 50-year-old Patrick Buswell is now facing multiple charges, including attempting to flee, possession of methamphetamine, cocaine, and THC, and bail jumping. The new aquatic center in Rice Lake officially opened this weekend, months after the old community pool was shut down earlier than expected. City officials already planned to demolish the old pool, but maintenance issues arose over the winter that would have been too costly to fix. The new aquatic center project took about 18 months and will now offer residents new swimming options and will be able to host WIA-sanctioned competitions. The new aquatic center also features a spectator viewing platform, updated changing rooms, and more amenities. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers battle the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers take on the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, making his second career start for Milwaukee. The Brewers won for 10 last night with runners in scoring position on the way to a 5-3 loss to the Cubs. Pat Murphy.
You look at the box scores tonight. If you look at 15 box scores, there's going to be six teams that are something like that. You got to hit with guys in scoring position, and we didn't.
The Cubs now with a 6.5 game lead over Milwaukee in the NL Central. Hockey, the Florida Panthers skating past the Edmonton Oilers 5-1 to win the Stanley Cup for a second year in a row, 4-2. NFL, the Packers' new president and CEO says there's no immediate plans to renew the contracts of Matt LaFleur or GM Brian Gutekunst. I asked Ed Policy what will be his focus as he takes over.
Keep the Packers in Green Bay. The big things there will be continuing to maintain and evolve Lambeau Field so that it remains not just iconic but also state-of-the-art.
That's the new Packers president, Ed Policy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
More clouds than sunshine today, with a small chance of scattered showers or maybe a rumble of thunder. Otherwise, highs today flirting with 80 degrees and will be partly cloudy overnight. Tomorrow, waking up to a ton of sunshine, highs make it to the mid-80s. Another chance of showers and storms by midday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jay, Matt, and Air, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, ICE agents are taking people into custody with no identification and they're masked. What is the legality of that? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is...
Pump Day!
Yes, indeed. Made it halfway through the week. Glad to have you along. Little rain outside hitting the windows here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. People have their umbrellas up, or as they say in Bohemian, bumper shoots. Do you know that, Zommers? That is the word.
Hold on. What? Can you run that by me again?
That is Bohemian word for umbrella, bumper shoot.
Bumper shoot?
Yeah, I don't know why. My grandmother was Bohemian, and so she knew a few words. That's one of the ones that stuck with me. Anyway, the show will be in English today because we're under ICE control now. There will be no Bohemian spoken here furthermore on the show, but we are going to be joined in hour number two at 3:35 by our friend and colleague Earl Ingram Jr. Tomorrow is Juneteenth. It's 1 year ago that Earl and I were up in Baraboo, Wisconsin on a similar day, actually, a rainy day, celebrating the first annual Juneteenth celebration in Baraboo. It was a really good time. Earl and I also afterwards hiked around Devil's Lake a little bit. So we'll check in with Earl Ingram and his remembrances of Juneteenth. It also was happening in Milwaukee, one of the largest Juneteenth celebrations happening tomorrow, which Earl's going to be a part of. So we'll check in with him. Also in hour two, what's worse, people who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others? God bless you, Trippy.
Gesundheit.
Thank you.
That's hour two. But right now we're joined. You heard him sneeze in. By our guests, as they are every Wednesday afternoon, from our nation's capital outside in the Tony suburbs of Arlington, the former Republican like myself and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Trygve Olson, and from beautiful Lake Wissota, the Captain Stubing of the Northwoods and the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 8. Pat Kreitlow, for those watching on the stream, he has the hat. He has his captain's hat right there. I love it.
Which does not fit over my headset, unfortunately. Bumbershoot is a slightly whimsical American term for an umbrella, thought to be a playful combination of umbrella and parachute. So there you go.
It came from a Bohemian, I don't know, roots.
I searched Bohemia, and there was no Bohemia anywhere. It's
maybe
just
my grandma lied to me.
Well, no, because I think Bohemian has also become kind of a catch-all for American mutts. We are all in the junk drawer of cultures, as it were.
Right.
So
I appreciate that. Thank you,
gentlemen. So you get away with that.
Good to see you both here after a week. Lots going on nationally. Lots going on in the state. I'd like to start, if we could, and we've been talking about this for the last couple of days, what's going on a block away in the Wisconsin State Capitol as the Joint Committee on Finance, better known as JFC, the Joint Finance Committee, the largest, it's the budget writing committee, the most powerful committee in the state capitol. They put together the budget every other year, and then they send it to the full legislature. If it passes, it goes to the governor for up or down vote. Important to remember for our discussion that unlike in D.C., if there is no budget, the government shuts down. In Wisconsin, if there is no budget passed or agreed upon by the legislature or the governor, the current budget takes effect. In other words, the current spending levels just carry on for another 2 years. So I want to go to this new news being reported right now by the Wisconsin State Journal. Great reporter Kimberly Wethall in a in their online edition at Madison.com this afternoon just posted here about an hour ago. It's an update on the story that they ran this morning on the front page. It starts out, Republicans in the legislature's budget committee may deal the universities of Wisconsin, better known as the UW system, its biggest budget cut in nearly a decade to the tune of $87 million. And many thanks to Kimberly for the next line there on the front page of today's State Journal. It says, the cut was first reported by Civic Media on Monday night. By contrast, the UW system had requested an increase in state aid of $856 million. The committee had been slated to take up the UW system's budget yesterday, but punted it for unspecified reasons. Going to step away from the story right now. Maybe some of those unspecified reasons was the post that we did on Monday night that got a lot of people calling their legislators, and they kind of said, well, boys, the jig's up, and so they took it off the agenda for yesterday. State Senator Kelda Royce, who was on the program on Monday, talked about this a little bit. She confirmed to both the State Journal and the Associated Press that she had heard rumors of that $87 million number herself. Yet last night, this morning, State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was couching it a little bit in terms of, well, my caucus is in favor of that number, but they wouldn't say what a lot more. Now, the State Journal and Kimberly Wethall are reporting the following. Quote, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican of Rochester, confirmed today that Republicans were looking at least a cut of that size because he said the UW system had not done enough to ensure conservative students feel like they belong on campus. Voss also said he believed too much, quote, political correctness, unquote, remained on campus and alluded to the pro-Palestinian protests that have taken place in the last 2 years. Going to step away from the story. Pat Kreitlow, former Democratic state senator. Thoughts?
Thoughts begin with the word Taliban-esque. Because that's exactly where Robin Voss is, and he's comfortable in that role of being the thought police for the University of Wisconsin and for students who attend there. And his idea is not about stifling anybody's speech, but he can stifle their money. And if he cuts enough of their money with demands that they adhere to his way of thinking, Taliban-esque is the word that fits there. And he goes on to say in this article, you know, it's not about cutting money. It's about getting some kind of reforms to the broken process we currently have. The part of the system that's broken begins and ends with Robin Voss and all of his ilk in the Wisconsin legislature who don't believe in the Wisconsin idea the way that you were describing it yesterday, and who would just as soon micromanage the universities the way that they're trying to micromanage local units of government, women's bodies, and so on.
Trivi Olson, you and I have traveled around the state here, stopping at a lot of our great public universities at UW System. Pat knows this as well. We're all three products of UW System schools and colleges. What about this, what Pat said here? This, the quote from Voss in this story today in the State Journal says, this morning, says, it's not about cutting money. What it's about is getting some kind of reforms to broken processes that we currently have. We don't have enough respect for political diversity. And it goes on from there. Trivi, are we seeing Voss trying to mimic what Trump is doing in D.C., which is we're going to make these kind of egregious, over-the-top demands, in this case, cutting $87 million from UW system current levels, which would gut almost assuredly close the remaining 6 2-year colleges and probably shut down at least 1 year four school, one year, one four-year school if Todd could get it out. But is he doing this? He's saying it's not about money. Is this a mimic of what Trump's doing in D.C.?
Could I go a step further and ask Trigvi to also say, does it go as far as what Viktor Orban is doing and has done in Hungary?
You guys are loading up on me, man.
You're the expert, right? Man.
You've actually fought authoritarianism. He fought authoritarianism, and he won. All right.
Let me unpack this in a few different ways. First of all, I'm a little perplexed because by Robin's quotes. If you guys know, listeners may not, I've known Robin since high school. In college, Robin was the first student regent. There were three candidates, me, Robin, and one other guy. I didn't really care because if I became the student regent, it was going to be less time on Water Street drinking beer and chasing girls.
You're a good man.
So we ultimately came to a conclusion, though. It was going to be the UW-Madison kid if Robin and I, as the state school kids, didn't have one candidate.
Robin Voss.
Robin Voss has been more engaged in the UW system over a longer period of time than perhaps anyone in the state other than Tommy Thompson, going back to college when he was the student regent. He represents, I believe, Whitewater.
Yes,
and he's putting out this ball there. My question is, if it's this bad, Robin, what in the H double hockey sticks have you been doing since we were in college? What have you been doing? And yes, it is sort of Orban-esque. Quite frankly, it's just abject stupidity in many ways. And as I said before, the University of Wisconsin River Falls is not a woke den of indoctrination. I doubt that Robin Voss thinks that Whitewater is a woke den of intolerance towards conservatism. In fact, when we were on the Stevens Point campus, Students for Liberty and about four other conservative groups all had tables up, yes, for God's sakes.
Yes.
Like, man, what are you talking about, Robin? And where have two people like you and I gone so off in opposite directions about what the school, what the Wisconsin idea and what Wisconsin is about? Or are you just paying lip service because you want to be and are afraid of what it means if you don't go along with the lie? What is up,
Pat?
Sorry, you cranked me up. I just want to know. What, I mean, honestly, I wish we were on a podcast because I would unleash expletives, as you know I can, in very unique ways, Todd.
Thank you for not doing it right now. No, this is, I mean, Pat, you represented UW institutions when you're in the state senate. You're a graduate, as Trigvi is, of UW Eau Claire. We all know the value. When Trigvi and I did the show in Eau Claire, and you were there, I mean, there, again, it's not some wokeness on UW Eau Claire's campus.
No, it's most certainly not. It is, but no different than what Trump is trying to do to Harvard and Columbia. This is all politics. It's just pure politics of grievance that their only path to staying in power, where they can do things for their wealthy benefactors, is to convince enough of the population that didn't go to college that colleges are these ivory towers, these elite institutions of people who don't think like them. When the folks out there who didn't go to college oftentimes scrimp and save and work hard, you know why? So that their kid can go to college, mm-hmm, and get an education or a tech school or a trade school or something that maybe they didn't get the chance to do. But if you can get enough other people feeling aggrieved by people with, you know, different levels of education, you can win elections. We've seen that happen now. You cannot campaign as overtly on, say, people's race, but you can say urban, but you can go against people who have an education. Scott Walker's war on teachers, this is in some ways a continuation of that. If you go after the educated, as happened in Hungary and other countries as well, you have this so-called populist path to power, and then people learn the hard way that these populists, they didn't really want to do anything for them anyway. Just witness the big, beautiful boondoggle of a bloated budget bill that Donald Trump has right now.
I said this before the show, won't go into it in detail, when I was still in the legislature working for Dale Schultz in the state Senate behind closed doors at caucus meetings. Even this is 12 years ago. Even then, there were select members in that caucus that had no time for anybody from UW. Oh, that's just a bunch of liberals. I don't want to hear about it. So this, Pat's right. This has been festering for some time. When we come back, our further discussion of the UW system, where are the Democrats in this? Where's the leadership? And is Jay Rothman the frog or the scorpion? We'll explain on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday. Trigby, Todd, Allball, Zommers, and all of you as well, the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captate Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK. There's an Amory Community Blood Drive coming to Amory Chevrolet Tuesday, June 24th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Wednesday, June 25th from 10 to 4. Again, at Amory Chevrolet, a blood drive. A community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming in, we could hear this song out of Speaker Robin Voss's window blaring down State Street right now. They're having the Republican Assembly Caucus to find out how they're going to deal with this. Always glad when we can break a little news, which we did on Monday night after our sources confirmed that Republicans were looking at cutting $87 million from the University of Wisconsin system budget, not from the $300 million-plus requests from the governor, not from current, but from current spending levels, $87 million cut. Broke that news. Appreciate the State Journal putting it in their story today. And now their great reporter, Kimberly Wethel, further reporting Speaker Robin Voss's comments today, this afternoon, saying that confirmed our reporting that, yeah, they're looking at that number, $87 million. Says, quote, it's not about cutting money. It's about getting some kind of reforms and the broken promises that we currently have. We don't have enough respect for political diversity. Heaven forbid if you're a student who's Jewish or has a different viewpoint on campus where you feel like you're either targeted or the victim of potential hate. So we want to ensure that whatever happens on campus, it's a free exchange of ideas and that people understand the basis for what the university should be, unquote. Robin Voss. And it goes on to further attacks on so-called DEI stuff, which the university has already addressed. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings and Pat Kreitlow 6 until 8, Trygve Olsen, senior advisor at Lincoln Project. I want to get to this. Yes, Republicans, in my opinion, have not properly funded education. Yes, Robin Voss's comments on this are ridiculously bad. But where are Democrats? Tony Evers now has the majority of appointees on the Board of Regents. They're the ones that put Jay Rothman in this position, the president of the system. They have people who are paid $200,000 who are supposed to be the lobbyists for the system to the Capitol, to the legislature. And they thought by being the parable of the frog and the scorpion, where the frog gives a scorpion a ride across the river and the scorpion stings him in the middle. And the frog says, why? And the scorpion says, because it's my nature. Did Jay Rothman, is he the frog here? And you think, well, by being a more amiable frog to cut some of the DEI stuff, that somehow Robin Voss will be nice to me. Pat Kreitlow, you've worked in the building. These current iteration of MAGA Republican leadership, like Robin Voss, they're political scorpions. They're never going to change.
No, they're never going to change. This is power. This was their path to power. And they already know. Here's something they already know, even though they don't want to admit it. If there is a fair debate, a clash of ideas, if you will, on campuses, most progressives, liberals, whatever you want to call them, feel pretty confident about their chances. You don't have to rig the game. And that includes anybody who has just literally arrived on campus, you know, fallen off the turnip truck from, you know, Reidsville in Manitowoc County, where my wife attended UW-Eau Claire. They come off the farm. They come out of our small towns. They come from wherever. They come to get an education. They come to make them, improve their lives. And they come to debate ideas. And the number that come out of there saying, gosh, you know what we ought to do? We ought to shrink government to the size where we can drown it in the bathtub and hope that benevolent billionaires will fund our education and our health care. That number ain't zero, but it's awfully close. So, Speaker Voss, let's just have that exchange of ideas rather than you putting your thumb on the scales.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I don't disagree with you, but I want you your quicker comment and then Trigby. But what about Tony Evers, who I think is doing a fine job, but I just don't understand, Pat, why.
What do you want? What can he do at this point? Is he going to stand on the floor?
Why wasn't he going around with Jay Rothman and select regions around this state, going to cities where these institutions are and saying, this is what this means to us. Help us lobby. Why weren't they out there promoting this?
Well, because they know that the lobbying, frankly, they know who Robin Voss and the Republicans are. So I don't mean to sound cynical about this, but I think they're not the least bit surprised. And instead of working on how do we stop this thing that we can't stop, I think what they're working on now is how do we convey to people next year, you see what these guys did? You shouldn't have trusted them.
Trigby?
I leave him speechless all the time.
First of all, what I would do, if I were on the Democratic side, I would get a bunch of these trucks.
Lean up a little closer to Mike.
I would get a bunch of trucks with speakers and that can show ads. And I would literally follow people like Robin Voss around. I'd have them all over the state, literally playing, we don't need no education. Literally, that would be step one. Step two would be, they got to take this fight straight to people. Like, I would be holding town halls in every single university community across the state, making the point and asking people from the university to come and talk about what they're doing as it relates to the so-called free speech on campus, but also reminding people exactly who comes from those institutions like UW River Falls, UW Stevens Point, UW Superior, and the rest of them. The third thing that I'm thinking is, like, people in Wisconsin need to wake up, right? The alternative to Jay Rothman was Jim Schmidt, who's the chancellor at Eau Claire.
The kid I just hired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your loss, Virginia's gain. In fact, I was Todd knows this, and Pat might too, because they read my Substack. And if you read my Substack, you'd know this. I've been out college hunting lately, not for myself, because I wasn't very good when I was in college. Because I was following in the footsteps of Pat, you know, and so, but my daughter's going to go look at James Madison, who's the new president of that university. And they Josh are Smith, giddy yes. that they took him. Why? Because I can't speak for Jim, but I would suspect the fact that there seems to be a lack of commitment versus the commitment that you see in the university from Virginia to public education. Wisconsin's going to be getting its lunch packed.
Yes, so they are.
And yeah. It's going to be baloney. It's baloney that's being put in their lunch.
You can always
know
it,
like
no
Robin
Walker's
Ross,
ham sandwich. There's no baloney from 6 until 8. It is good, solid meat, newsy meat, along with some fun, packed quite low mornings every morning from 6 until 9. We appreciate you, my friend. Have a great day in Minnesota. Yep. Trinkie and I back with your phone calls on the other side. 855-752-4842 is Allball. It's Trinkie and Sommers on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Getting with this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, it's going to be dairy from here on out. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. That's the word from Janet Keller, General Manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days.
Absolutely, and we don't always want to just focus on large operations because certainly our industry has changed drastically. I'm old enough, Pam, you know me. I've been around the block, and I'm old enough to remember that it takes all types of dairies. There are a lot of smaller acreage operations, smaller animal unit operations, and we want to make sure we have something for all of them to see and witness and perhaps adapt back home.
Janet Keller, General Manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Clinton Farms in Waupaca County will host the annual event August 5th through the 7th. This is actually the third time that the Clinton family will host Wisconsin's largest outdoor agriculture event. Take a look at some of the details. WIFarmTechDays.org.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about beef production in Wisconsin and what's happening now, the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association inviting you to their summer production tour. This year it's going to be on Saturday, June 28th, and it's going to feature farms in southeast Wisconsin. The first stop will be Adams Land and Cattle near Lake Geneva. It's a fourth-generation family farm with about 1,500 crop acres, around 180 head of cattle. They raise primarily Angus, Charley, crossbred beef, and dairy cross calves. The next stop will be the DeLong Company in Clinton. 6 generations of agribusiness folks there that are focused in on grain management. If you want to see all the details, go to WisconsinCattlemen.com under their events tab. Again, the date, Saturday, June 28th. And that's a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
More clouds than sunshine today, with a small chance of scattered showers or maybe a rumble of thunder. Otherwise, highs today flirting with 80 degrees and will be partly cloudy overnight. Tomorrow, waking up to a ton of sunshine, highs make it to the mid-80s. Another chance of showers and storms by midday. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 79.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the writer and producer from Bridge to Terabithia, David Patterson. Then we discuss men's mental health with DeLorean Walls from Brothers to Brothers. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. School may be out for the summer, and if it's up to Speaker Robin Voss, for some UW campuses across the state, it may be out forever. As Joe Biden once said, I'm not joking around here. Being completely serious for a second. These cuts that the Republicans in the legislature are proposing, $87 million to the University of Wisconsin system, which we first reported on Monday night. Many thanks to the Wisconsin State Journal for giving us credit for that in their front page story today in the Wisconsin State Journal. Great article there by Kimberly Wethel. And she picks up on our reporting and now saying today that Speaker Robin Voss confirms that number that we first reported on Monday, $87 million wants the cut, says he claims it's not about cutting money, but rather the fact that he's salty, my words, that UW system still hasn't done enough to cut diversity, equity, and inclusion, and is not making conservative students feel comfortable. Which Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at Lincoln Project, a proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and myself are talking about now. Trigvi, another story, this time in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, to give you one more piece of flavor here for the day. Scrolling down to Republican State Senator Steve Nass of Whitewater, who has said he is likely to vote against the budget plan. Get this, wants more than $87 million cut from the system's funding. Quote, frankly, Senator Nass believes the cut to the UW system should be much higher than $87 million. But the UW system piece is not a sole budget benchmark. Unquote. That according to Nass spokesperson, Mike Mickelson. A real piece of work that guy is. He fancies himself, he's one of those staffers, Trigby, you know him, the type I'm talking about. They like to think that they're the senator. They're the kind of staffer yeah. that the late, great Mike Ellis detested. But Mickelson sticks around because he does most of the work. Thoughts, Trigby?
I have no thoughts. because I went to a woke den of indoctrination called the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, so I can't think.
And we had State Senator State Senator Kelda Royce here on Monday. We had State Representative Jody Emerson, the ranking Democratic member on the Colleges and University Committee in the Assembly here yesterday, and they confirmed that should this $87 million get taken up and passed by joint finance and then be approved by the entire legislature, that it would be devastating, most likely meaning that the 6 remaining 2-year colleges in the UW system gone, at least 1 4-year campus gone, and many other major things gutted within the UW system. And some Democrats are telling me privately that that they would encourage Governor Tony Evers to veto the entire budget because that would essentially be an $87 million increase over what Republicans are doing for UW System. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Jim, listening in Brookfield on WAUK. Jim, thanks for calling. What do you got?
I think it's a very sad thing when there's our elected officials target and really go against higher education. I mean, you can't say enough for what the UW system does, not only for the state, but for the country, for the world, you know, for research and education. But the main point I would like to say is I'd like to remind everybody how important next year's elections are, statewide assembly elections, because it would be the most wonderful thing for this state of Wisconsin if the Democrats are able to take control of the assembly after over 15 years of gerrymandered districts and Robin Voss is delegated to, you know, minority individual and not have these controls. Because I'll tell you, gentlemen, the system is not set up for one petty, salty, vindictive individual to have control this long. He's even, you know, vetoed things or gone against things that some of his own caucus would have supported, such as, you know, giving health care to the pregnant moms after 2 months. Some of his own caucus would have supported that, and hence it'd be a minority because the Democrats would. But one man's vindictiveness and pettiness rules, you know, knocks that out. The system's not set up for that. So I'm just encouraging and reminding everybody, next year, 2026, huge year for the state of Wisconsin. Get out, vote in your assembly race, and hopefully we can flip that so Mr. Voss is no longer this majority leader holding the strings, like in the Godfather movies, you know, for the detriment and the worst of the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks.
So keep it in mind. Remember, next year, get out and vote.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Talking about this news that we helped break on Monday night, and it's been confirmed now by Speaker Robin Voss today that Republicans want to cut at least $87 million for the University of Wisconsin system budget, and that Democrats say if that gets passed, some of them at least are saying that they would encourage Tony Evers to veto the entire budget. Let's go to Jack, listening in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call. I have a bit of experience in education. I taught for 40-plus years, public, private, and parochial schools at levels, all levels, from sixth grade to university. So I have a little background in watching this happen. First thing I'm going to say is, yeah, I'm an old guy, okay? When I went to college, I recall that my tuition was $312.
Wow.
My son's tuition annually was $10,000, and I'm going to say that even with inflation over that long a period of time, that's an essentially caused by the defunding of the UW system. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, it's not Democrats that have been doing that. It's been Republicans, and it's been over, you know, for years. They're just trying to put, as the old song goes, one more brick in the wall between people and getting a decent education.
Yeah.
Second thing I'm going to say is that while it's not a sure thing, if you have an advanced education, one of the things that your instructors, the good ones, try to instill in you is critical thinking. Mm-hmm. And that allows you to look at the lies and the misinformation and also the misdirection that's going on in this country and say, hey, that's not what the real point is. The real point is, you know, they're trying to turn this thing into a dictatorship and a fascist one that simply gives our money away to the rich corporations and the billionaires.
People need to
have a bit of an education to understand what this is, you know, that this is what's happening.
Yeah. Jack, really appreciate the call. Thank you so very much. Trigvi, to Jack's point there, I know your daughter's getting ready to go off to college here. When you and I went to school, I mean, you can speak for yourself, But, you know, having the Central American Scholarship Program at the two-year college at Richland Center and bringing in some people that didn't look like me, didn't talk like me, had different experiences, and then going to Platteville, it made me a better person to look at myself, to challenge myself. I would have to think now as a dad, sending your daughter off to college for the first time, as a parent, you would want that. Any parent, I don't know any parents like, yeah, let's send my kid off to just a monolith and a place where everybody thinks the same.
No, I mean, the whole point of an education is to have your ideas challenged and to defend your ideas and to become a broader person. But it kind of gets back to, I mean, do you remember when Scott Walker had this whole thing that we should get rid of liberal arts educations?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what, just ridiculous. But here's the other thing I would point out to these clowns. You know, the biggest employer, I think they're the biggest employer in the state of Wisconsin is Epic, aren't they?
I believe. Mm-hmm.
Why is Epic in Madison, Wisconsin, Todd?
For the workforce that they get largely from UW-Madison.
Right. Talk about a bunch of people who are cutting off their own, you know. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's so
let me just interject
outrageous.
Quickly. A mutual friend of ours pointed out that the business community in this state, some of whom belong to WMC, a more conservative organization, they have been outspoken. And the business community in this state has said, dude, we want investment in the UW system. So good on those people. I just think it needs, it's a past point or to your point.
Well, you know who else has been outspoken is Dave Mahoney and your old boss, Dale Schultz, with United Wisconsin. It's one of their core foundational platforms because they see what's going on, right? Like the center of the state understands what's happening.
855-752. Go ahead.
Evers should fight on this. And Democrats need to start taking it to the people, honestly. Right. Like, you don't have a lot of seats north of Highway 8. They need to be out of Madison and Milwaukee and in Green Bay and in Wausau.
Superior.
And Stevens Point, Superior, River Falls. That's where they need to be.
I'm telling you right now,
those communities, talking to the chamber.
Having had a boss that chaired this committee, the colleges, University Colleges Committee, I'll tell you right now that if these current Republican cuts of $87 million plus go through, if it were to take effect, Superior and or Parkside, most likely gone. 855-752-4842. Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for calling. Let's see.
Well, this might be a stretch, but I'd posit that DEI is actually a conservative value because it goes right in line with our Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal and entitled to equality under the law. I mean, that Robin Voss, there's times I'd like to crown him like Viserys was crowned in Game of Thrones. And it is just beyond me that they're saying this kind of nonsense. And the United States, there's some liberalism that actually is a conservative value. I mean, at the founding of our country, there's debates among some that women should have actually had the vote because Abigail Adams was advocating for that with her husband John, who did not want to give that to women. Mm. I mean, that James Madison in Federalist 42 was calling slavery a barbarous practice that he envisioned actually would have been gone in 20 years. Well, that's a liberal value there. Mm. But actually, there's liberal values that are innately conservative values in this country. Maybe I'm misstating. I mean, Trevor can correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, actual equality under the law. I mean, diversity, equity, and inclusion includes those little conservatives that can't take the diversity on the campus. Yeah. And let's remember the anti-Semitism that they're complaining about. In my own lifetime, I remember people talking about the Jews not being welcome, and apparently now because Israel is, they seem to separate Israel as being actually a Jewish state. You know, they call that anti-Semitism to criticize Israeli policy. There's half the population of Israel that criticizes their policy toward the Palestinians.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate it. Just 1 minute left here, Trig, before the break, but any comment?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, right, the single best ground politically to fight this on is they want the fight to be about culture, but the fight really needs to be about economics and chaos and pivot that into the culture and what complete balderdash ultimately this is. And I think, you know, Democrats need to get out and fight on this. This is a fight that they want to have, but they have to frame it not from their political extreme, right, but from the center.
Agreed. Thank you, Trigby. Stay tuned. More Trigby after this. Going to talk about some federal issues as well. Also, what's going on in Minnesota. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. At the top of the hour, well, news, weather, and sports, and then what's worse? People who are critical of others or people who are not critical? We'll discuss. And at the bottom of the next hour, Earl Ingram Jr. will be along, and we will discuss 1 year since he and I were up at Baraboo together to celebrate the first annual Juneteenth celebration. A huge celebration happening tomorrow for Juneteenth in Milwaukee, and Earl will help us preview that. Right now, joined as we always are on Wednesday by the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson, via StreamYard. Trigby, just want to finish up what we're talking about, the Republicans and the legislature looking at cutting the UW system budget by $87 million. By the way, a big shout out to, you know her, my younger sister, Heather, love her to death. And she's also our unofficial production assistant here at the show. She does great work. We don't pay her a dime. And she actually legitimately helped me break this story on Monday night using some of her sources and mine. We put this together. And so a big shout out to her. But she says, I'll watch you on Facebook along with Trigvy's comment about learning to think. She says, one of my favorite college professors, Murray Haar. His parents were Holocaust survivors. He challenged our thinking daily. We'd give an answer, and he'd ask us why. He forced us to dig deeper and think deeper, and he was a religion professor at a private Lutheran college out there at Augustana in South Dakota. I think that's just a great example of the best of what higher education should be, Trapey.
Yeah, 100%. I had a professor, Mort Cypress. He was chair of the Democrat Party in the 3rd District, right? Like, I was working for Gunderson at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was fantastic. He challenged me. He really cared about me learning to think. And I saw Mort years later when I was asked to come and speak at the University of Wisconsin campus, Eau Claire, and he actually came. And he was so excited about what I had done with my life. And he had played a role because he challenged me and forced me to think.
Yeah.
That's what education is supposed to be about. But the truth of the matter is, you know, people on the extremes, and I'm finding this out now that I'm on Substack, Todd, people on both extremes, they don't want to be challenged in the least.
Right.
And I've knew that intuitively from studying extremism. But, you know, because to get outside of the simplistic answer forces them to reevaluate what's causing the distress that's underneath.
Only about 4 minutes left. I want to get your thoughts, Trigvy. We covered this on Monday a little bit on the show, the horrific assassination in Minnesota over the weekend of the former assembly, well, they call it the House Speaker over there in Minnesota, and her husband, and the shooting of another state senator and his wife there in Minnesota.
Yeah, just awful, you know. And honestly, one of the things, you know, Mike Lee had his tweet, which to his credit, he has taken down. Not to his credit, he had it up in the first place and quite frankly, didn't seem to want to take it down until he was called out on it.
That's a Republican senator.
You know, there may have been a few extremists on the left when Donald Trump was shot who said things that they shouldn't have said. I know that that's the case, but that was not United States senators on the left. In fact, they all, to the best of my knowledge, came out and condemned it. And for some of these people who are in the Senate, like Mike Lee, to be making fun of something like this it's wrong if it's Donald Trump. It's wrong if it's somebody on the left. We don't solve our differences that way. We just don't.
100% agree. And I called out our friend Bill McCoshin on Monday as well in this program because he retweeted information on this that I know he knows to be untrue. That somehow that this assassin alleged, I have to use the word alleged assassin in Minnesota, was a Democrat. And we played the audio from the Minnesota Tribune, Leader Tribune, I believe it is, and WCCO, which interviewed the guy's roommate and closest friend and said, no, we're both Trump people, we're both Republican people. And I said, look, I'm not saying that all MAGA Republican people are bad people or anything like that. But to from the other side, from conservatives, from MAGA people, to somehow perpetuate these lies that this guy was a Democrat for political gain is just sick.
Yeah, and I mean, the other side of this is, and this is true for both sides, if you think extremism is only a problem on the other side, you need to look in the mirror because you're going to find the extremist.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And both sides need to to take a long, hard look at it. I mean, you saw the piece. I literally, Substack has been an awakening to me because I hate, this sounds strange for somebody who's on your radio show once a week, but I don't count this. I really have tried to stay out of the public eye, but I had to get the Substack thing, right? So I got attacked by the AOC left for making the point that John Kennedy's I Have a Dream speech and Ronald Reagan's Shining City on a Hill were both part of what used to make America great. And I just got eviscerated from the left that I would say anything about Ronald Reagan and a shining city on a hill, which, of course, then people on the person that used to be on the right with me was thinking to myself, yep, this is why it was so easy for Mitch McConnell world to beat these guys, because we'd come out and say, see, they don't like America. They hate America. Right. They don't think it's a shining city on a hill.
Right.
And they don't even believe in Kennedy's I Have a Dream. Kennedy's I, you know, ask not what you can do for your country. So.
Right. No, it's we don't have time to get into it, but Democrats.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah.
You know what?
What?
I had the ChatGPT machine doing some research here on how many current UW alumni are in the state legislature.
How many?
30% are graduates of UW system
really?
Schools. Yeah, and by party affiliation, 22% of Republicans and at least 30% of Democrats.
Very interesting. Look at that. Trigby using the old AI to get things done. And that's the real Trigby. How about that?
Yeah, and I'm staying for this or that. Because
okay.
I always stay through
All
this
right,
or that.
Stay tuned. We'll finish up this topic and do a little what's worse. Not this or that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Chuck Sievertson. A mixed verdict in the Karen Reed trial outside Boston, accused of hitting her Boston police officer boyfriend John O'Keefe with her car in a blizzard and leaving him to die. A jury found Reed guilty of drunk driving, but not guilty on all other charges, including a second-degree murder charge. Cheers from supporters of Reed outside of court as the verdict was being read. And here's part of that.
Operating under the influence of liquor by operating a motor vehicle with a blood alcohol level of 0.08 or greater, correct?
Yes.
So say you, Mr. Foreman?
Guilty.
So say you all?
Yes. Guilty.
003. What say is the defendant at the bar leaving the scene after accident resulting in death? The defendant not guilty or guilty?
Not guilty.
So say you, Mr. Foreman?
Yes.
So say you all?
Again, a jury found Karen Reed guilty of drunk driving, but not guilty on other charges, including second-degree murder. This is ABC News.